This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Wong Xiaoning and Lin Mark. It is now 7:36 in the morning, Monday the 28th of September. And in about half an hour, we're going to have the breakfast grill. Lin, tell us what it's all about today.
So this morning's breakfast grill is going to be with Jeffrey Chew, Group CEO of Paramount Corporation. Now, even though property is a favorite asset in Malaysia, it was not spared from the impact of the pandemic, and the property market declined in the first half of 2020. Now, how has property player Paramount Corp fared, and what is Group CEO Jeffrey Chew's plan? Well, Roshan Karnison will be speaking to him later on the breakfast grill, so be sure to stay tuned after the 8 o'clock news.
Meanwhile, of course, we are going to pay attention to Sabah, because the coalition of the Kabungan Rakyat Sabah, comprising of Barisan Nasional, Perikatan Nasional and PBS, secured 38 out of the 73 seats to win the 16 Sabah state elections that were held on Saturday. Warisan Plus, led by Sabah Chief Minister Shafri Abdal, secured 32 seats, while independent candidates won 3 seats. Now, the voter turnout was 66.6%, below the EC target turnout of 75%. But of course, now all eyes are going to be on who will be the next chief minister. Because after failing to decide among themselves who will take the post, GRS has said they have left the decision to the Sabah governor, and the governor has requested more time before making a decision. And the choice is believed to be between UMNO's Bung Mukhtar and Haji Muhammad Noor of Bersatu. So what are the key takeaways from a weekend of political drama? And to help us unpack the issues at hand is Dr. Bridget Welsh, Honorary Research Associate at the University of Nottingham. Good morning, Bridget. Thanks for joining us again. Now, what factors tipped the scales in favour of GRS, despite the widely publicised internal fractions?
Morning to everyone. So what we can see in the Sabah contest is that we see that the electorate was quite polarised. If we look at the voter support, 43% supported GRS and 43% supported Warisan Plus. The rest went to independent candidates or other parties. Warisan had a slight advantage in terms of the support. Many of the seats were in extremely close. In 12% of the seats, the difference was less than 5% of the vote. And in 3 seats, it was less than 1% of the vote. In a seat like Kukusan, it was decided by 10 votes. So it was a very polarized, very close contest. And I think that there were many seats that were too close to call. And when you called them at the end, they were very close. And what were the decisive factors? Well, we can see, of course, money, machinery, independent candidates and splitting and personality issues at the local level were important. But the two things that I would like to highlight is very important was the voter turnout drop. And in particular, this voter turnout drop was disproportionately among Warisan supporters. For example, among Chinese Sabahans, there was a drop in 16%. We can also see this even a drop among Bajusulo supporters. And so the issues of machinery, COVID-19, really shifted in terms of voter turnout drops. And that made a difference in the outcome, I think, and against Warisan. We can also see at the other big issue that I want to emphasize is the importance of the other candidates, the role of personality that played to capture 14% of the vote. Independents won 3 of the seats, and most of these independents are BN, PN, GRS leaning, but they were very important because of the local candidate factors that were capitalized on, and that this pulled away support from the contest from Warisan. When we look at the issues that mattered, were things that were important, of course, in the KDM community, the issues of illegal immigration were important. Now, the KDM support, which is the Karasan Dusun Murut support, stayed the same as it did in GE14. But what's interesting is that they just didn't move to Warisan in the same way as people expected. The economy, the COVID aid, these are the things that sort of people talked about. It is difficult when an incumbent is actually running when you have a weak economy. I would say, unfortunately, to the early report, environmental issues made no differences in terms of the outcome of the election. I think most of the things were bread and butter issues and things at the very local level.
Now, Bridget, of course, all eyes are going to be on who's going to be the next chief minister, but there seems to be internal wrangling on this. So what does this tell us about the dynamics within the GRS coalition? Because we did see both Sabah's Barisan Bung Mukhtar and Sabah's PN Haji Muhammad Noor apparently race to the palace for an audience with the governor.
Well, there's no question there are serious challenges of the relationship and competition between UMNO and Bersatu. UMNO won the most of the seats of the two. They won 14 seats. Bersatu won 11. I think that they seem to have had initial tensions. Most suggestions seem to say that they have reached some. They're reduced the tensions within themselves to allow the TYT to choose the governor. And two names have been passed forward, but there may be some interesting developments that a TYT may ask for new names among the different factors. Masidi Manjun, for example, is someone who is not a senior in the party in Bersatu and UMNO, but he's seen as widely a unifying figure, did extremely well in the election. But there are others that may come into the mix from the perspective of the GRS. They have said that and been able to show that they had the numbers. And there's also discussions of whether or not there will be defections in others. But of course, as we know, Shafi Abdal has not conceded. And I think the arguments here have to do with the different interpretations of the constitution. And the constitution in Sabah has two articles. One is that it has to command the majority, and the other has to do that it has to come from the largest party. And Shafi Abdal's Warisan, with 29 seats, is the largest party. So I think we're going to see continued wrangling, and of course, obviously, legal challenges that will come from whatever decisions are probably being made. I think Shafi Abdal faces a real challenge because it's not clear where he can get the numbers from. PRS, who is now aligned in part of the GRS, which is part of the Muhyiddin Yassin aligned PN and BN alliance, it is actually said that they will not move. They have seven seats. Where the sources of other defections could come for Shafi Abdal is not so clear. And the other issue is once you come in, even though you're allowed, once you become chief minister, you're allowed to appoint other representatives. The question then becomes whether or not there will be instability. And I think this is one of the issues that overshadows all of the different partners, is that there will be instability that could potentially evolve if there's splits between UMNO and Bersatu within that particular relationship, as well also if there is an alternative government.
And Bridget, I want to bring this conversation back to federal level, right? Because do you think the Sabah victory provides an impetus for Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin to actually call for snap elections now?
Well, I think Muhyiddin Yassin has been what I'm calling borrowed time, in the sense that we can see that there are serious tensions within his coalition. This is some of the factors that contributed to Anwar's announcement last week. I think that UMNO wants to go to polls, and they did reasonably well in Sabah, winning 14 seats. And I think that that would probably give them a sense of confidence for them as they move forward to look at the national picture. And they still maintain the mind that they are the hegemonic party. And they want to be in charge. And that mindset hasn't shifted. So, of course, that is a destabilizing factor, both at the national level. I think at the same time, Muhyiddin Yassin did well with his Bersatu becoming an important player on the Sabah stage. And now, in fact, arguably his political base has moved from Johor to Bersatu to Sabah. So I think that he may get a bit of an extension, given the fact that there is these multiple layers of instability and contestation. But I think ultimately there are still these drivers and underneath that will be putting pressure for moving towards an election. Muhyiddin did not get the victory he needed to basically say, hold off, give me a longer chance. But he did probably get some more borrowed time.
Thank you for your time. That was Bridget Welsh, honorary research associate at the University of Nottingham at the Asia Research Institute, telling us what's happening on the ground in Sabah, what were the issues that people faced, and I think the economy is being one. Now, she also said that one of the reasons why the results were what they were is because of the low voter turnout. I suppose with COVID-19, there was a great reluctance of people, especially for Sabahans who are based here in Peninsular Malaysia, to return home to vote. But the impasse continues. We don't know currently who is the chief minister. Maybe we might find out later today, but stay tuned to BFM. We will keep you updated. In the meantime, we are asking the question, in light of the outcome in the Sabah elections, do you think snap polls are imminent? And so far, out of the 200 respondents, 27% say no, whilst 44% say yes. Yes, maybe Tan Sri Muhyiddin feels confident about the outcome, and you, who knows? But with COVID-19 cases, that's another thing we're going to ask. Stay tuned, because after this, we're going to follow the developments in the Apple versus Epic saga. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.